Welcome to Shore Street Presbyterian Church Podcasts. Today, Sonia reminds us that God invites all who are thirsty to come to Him for renewal and refreshment.
This morning we're going to be taking a look at the book of Isaiah. As we know, Isaiah was a prophet. God had given him a message to bring to his people, the Israelites. And throughout the book of Isaiah, there's messages of both judgment and salvation. God is the Holy One of Israel, and he must punish his rebellious people. But then he redeems them time and time and time again. And we see through this book that God is righteous, that he's sovereign, that he reigns over all. We see people that are wayward and fickle, disobedient, deserving of judgment. And they've become a people in exile. They've lost everything and they're being held captive in Babylon. We see in this passage and in all of the chapters around it that God now has compassion on his people and is going to restore them as a nation in their own land. And it's in this context that we're going to approach Isaiah 55. So you can imagine these people are exiles, are living in Babylon. The majority of them would never have seen the promised land before. It would have been from historical accounts that they would have heard about it. And so when they hear this message of hope, this message of rescue, restoration, it would have brought great joy to their heart that God had again turned his face toward them, that God hadn't abandoned his covenant with them. He'd not forsaken them. Even though they'd been rebellious, they turned their back on him. He comes back with compassion. He comes back with forgiveness. And this gives hope that they're going to be a restored people in a restored nation where all the other nations are going to come to them. They're going to gather around them. It's a beautiful reminder this morning of who our God is. It is a God that we serve. It is a God that we have been singing about and singing to this morning. So turn to Isaiah 55. I think probably most of you have. Page 742. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen. This is a real message of hope for us too as we enter into another year. It is a call for us to leave the past in the past and to move forward with hope for all that God has for us. It is an invitation to come, come, come all. It's an invitation for us all. You know, there may have been events that you didn't get an invite to that you wished you had been invited to. A party where you weren't included on the guest list. Or perhaps you have been invited, but you declined the invitation because you felt that you didn't know anyone or you didn't fit in with everyone there. But this invitation this morning is for us all. You are not left off the guest list. Everyone is included. It is for all. God is inviting you all to come to the waters. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come to the waters. Water satisfies our thirst like nothing else. We need water to survive. Our bodies are made up of, 55 to 65% water. It's essential for survival, and to be dehydrated is not good. But spiritually speaking, I think some of us are dehydrated and we don't know it. We know that something's not right within us, that there's a restlessness or the drive or the passion that we have, that there's nothing that ever seems to fully satisfy us. And no matter what we try, no matter what we buy, no matter who's in our life, it's just not enough. We're trying to quench that thirst for meaning, for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for love in 100 different ways, but none of them ever satisfy us. But we keep pressing on and keep trying something else. I wonder, do you ever confuse your thirst with hunger? We can think that we're hungry sometimes, even though we've just had our dinner, but we nip into the kitchen for a bag of crisps or something because we're still hungry. But actually, what would have sufficed? A drink of water. Because all that was wrong with us was that we were thirsty. And we as people can be snacking on stuff that isn't satisfying us when we simply need to recognize the fact that we are spiritually thirsty. And it's good to feel thirsty. It's good to know that you need more in your life. That whatever has gone before hasn't worked, and that you need something more. You need water. And water is this beautiful picture in the Bible for life. It's for salvation. It's for the Holy Spirit flooding our lives. It's for eternal life. And the word from God this morning is for us to come to that water. It's an invitation for us all. God is calling us to come to him, because it's only in him that we can experience complete satisfaction. And it's only when we express that we are actually thirsty, where we see our lack, that we will come to the waters. We see this happen in John 4. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman? Jesus is traveling through Samaria. He stops at a well to sit and rest. And he begins a conversation with a woman by asking her for a drink of water. But then Jesus shares with her that everybody that comes to this well again is going to be thirsty again. And he says to her, but the water that I give you will become like a spring of water welling up into eternal life. And this woman doesn't really know what to make of this man, because didn't he just ask her for water? But as they continue, it plants a seed of faith in her life. And she goes back to her village and tells everybody about this man who's promised water that wells up within her, water that will quench her thirst. Because Jesus has offered her something that she has spent her whole life looking for. And she can't keep it to herself. She knows that others need to have their thirst satisfied. I wonder, are you ready to come? Are you ready to admit that you're thirsty, that you long for more? Are you tired of trying to quench that thirst with stuff that doesn't cut it? God's saying, come, come to me. Come experience the waters. Come experience salvation. Come experience what it's like to have me living in you. Come know what it's like to have hope for eternity. The passage continues, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Imagine having no money. It's not so difficult to imagine at the start of January, but you've no money and you're standing outside a shop and you're looking in at everything that's inside. The manager, he sees you standing there and he comes out and insists that you come in and buy something. You tell him, I don't have any money, but he says, come in, buy what you want, fill your trolley with everything that you want because I am going to give it to you for free. What a dream. You should try it in the co-op or something. It seems ludicrous. It seems unlikely. But this is the invitation that God is giving us this morning. Come empty. Come bankrupt. Come knowing that you have tried it all, done it all, and that you actually have nothing more to give. Come. Come and buy. Buy without cost. Recognize that there are needs in all of us. That there are needs in all of us, that we're bankrupt and we don't actually have the money to pay to have those needs met and satisfied. You need to recognize that thirst before you will ever think about coming to the water. And not only here is God offering us this water of life, not only is he offering us it freely that refreshes us and gives us life, but he mentions wine. And in the Bible, wine is just a picture of joy, and it's offered to us freely. No matter how laid back, how sensible, how unemotional any of us may seem, there's a part inside of all of us that just loves laughter, that loves joy, that loves jumping up and dancing and celebrating. And God is offering us that deep joy this morning, and he's offering it to us freely. Not only water, not only wine, but he's also offering us milk. Milk is a picture of nourishment, of growth. When a baby is born, what do you give it? Milk. Next feed, what do you give it? Milk. Next feed, milk, milk, milk. For at least 4, 5, 6 months, because it nourishes the baby. It helps the baby become strong. And in the same way, God is offering us milk freely. God wants to nourish our souls. He wants to help us grow and develop so that we will grow and be the people that he has called us to be, the people that he wants us to be. Imagine life, joy, nourishment is being offered to us, and it's offered to us freely. What's not to love about that? It continues in this passage, why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. No, God knows that we chase after so many things, hoping that they're going to satisfy us. That we work hard to spend our money on things that we hope will give us a bit of fulfillment, a bit of joy. We spend our lives on things that don't really nourish us, but rather can leave us feeling more empty, more hungry. When I was a teenager, all I wanted was a pair of Levi jeans, a Bennett jumper, and a pair of Kickers shoes. If you're from the 90s generation, that might mean something up to you. And I thought if I had that, that would be enough. Obviously, as I got older, I thought if I got some education behind me, if I had a car, a house, if I did some traveling, it would fill the void, it would satisfy me. And it was good, it was all good things, but it was never enough to satisfy that deepest longing inside of me, that deepest part of me. And you know what? Even the richest relationships that we can have in life will never be enough to quench the thirst for love and acceptance that we all have. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. I keep forgetting to flick through the screen, but yeah. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. You know, sometimes we settle for less than we should. We are afraid to admit that we need more, that our hearts are still empty. But here God is telling us, if we listen to him, if we eat what is good, then our souls will delight in the richest of fare. And we're given a choice, and the choice is to listen to him. The choice is to choose what we're gonna partake of. We need to decide, am I actually filling myself with something that's good? Is it nourishing me right in where I need to be nourished? I know that many of us can find it hard to spend time alone with God. It can be tough to pray because sometimes you don't really know what to say or your mind wanders. It can be tough to listen because you don't know if you've actually heard anything. It can be tough to read the Bible. We don't know where to start. Sometimes we don't know what it means. And so oftentimes we'll either give up or we'll read it quickly and then we'll tick the box in our head saying, spend time with God, job done. But we never feel that nourished. We never feel that satisfied. Our relationship with him doesn't seem to have gone anywhere or grown. Sometimes we say that we don't have time, our lives are so busy, which is true, our lives are so busy. But on the other hand, I know for me, I can easily find time for other things. When I get a novel that really grips me, I'll read just one more chapter, and it could be 2 o'clock in the morning for just one more chapter. Or the series on Netflix that you just have to watch, you just have to see. or the incessant checking of Instagram, Facebook to see what somebody had for their lunch today. You know, we can easily fill our minds and our hearts with things that aren't bad, but they're just not great. They're not evil things, but it's just like junk food that we're putting in. It gives us a quick fix in the moment, but it doesn't satisfy us in any real way. It's not the banquet that God is offering us. And so perhaps for us this year, we need to be more discerning about the time that we spend on the things that we think are worth spending time on. God says that when we give ear to him, when we listen to him, feast on him and what he has for us, then we will have life. Not just an existence, but life. John 10, Jesus tells us that the enemy, Satan, wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy our lives. But that when Jesus came, he came to give us life and life in all its fullest. A life that's filled with hope and assurance, acceptance and love. In Isaiah 55, verse 3, God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. He's assuring the Israelites that his promise still stands, that his word is true, that he's not going to let them go. David has been promised this unending dynasty which culminated in Jesus Christ as Messiah. And this is our promise too. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. Everything that he says is true. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't desert us. He doesn't change his mind or find a better offer. He has promised us life where our souls will be satisfied, and he offers it for free, but we must recognize that we are thirsty and that we need it. So how is it possible? How does it actually happen in our lives? Look at verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God and he will freely pardon. This is a call for us to move on from the past, from what has gone before us, and to focus on the present, to seek the Lord now. That becomes our primary aim, seeking the Lord, calling on him. He is present, he is here, and he longs for us to come to him, where we seek him intentionally, where we seek him with passion. And calling on him, what does it mean? It means talking to him, praying, crying out to him as though we would to a friend. He requires us to come, to pray to him, to seek him, but he also calls us to come with repentant hearts, where we acknowledge that in areas of our life where he hasn't been king of our lives, where we haven't listened to him, where we haven't obeyed him, where we haven't been living in a way that he wants us to. He wants us to repent of the sin that is in our lives and to turn from it, to start living a whole new way. And it's not just the actions of sin that are mentioned, it's also the thoughts that we have. He's calling for us to forsake the thoughts that aren't right, to be aware of what is in our mind. I love Romans 12, where it says in verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Because when our minds are transformed, when we reprogram our thoughts to match them with God's thoughts, that's when things start to change in our lives. When we start to fill our minds with things that are good, things that are right, things that are lovely, when we start to fill our minds with who God is and who God says that we are, that's when he will transform our lives and transform our relationships. You know, when we turn to God or when we return to God, we will find that he pardons us, that he has mercy on us time and time again, that he forgives us. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who pursues his people. We have a God who doesn't give up on us, even when we are reckless, when we are faithless. God is eager to show mercy when we come to him, when we're sorry for what we have done and are ready to start afresh again. I don't know about you, but as I read this, I was filled with hope. I'm filled with encouragement. My heart is strengthened. Because we are not on our own. God keeps his promises. He is faithful and loving. And whatever any of our pasts have looked like, whatever things have happened that fill us with regret, that fill us with remorse, we have a God who forgives us. We have a God who tells us to come and drink, come and eat, come as you are. We have a God who says, choose me. Choose my ways and you will be satisfied. Hear what I'm saying. Feast on my words. Feast on who I am and what I tell you. Make good choices about what you're putting into your mind and your life, and you will experience real, true life. This is a new year for us. I'm not one for resolutions because they always leave me feeling too guilty every time that I fail. But I am one for wanting more in my life and longing for more for each of you. We're on the 6th of January. Imagine if today we recognized an area in our lives where we were thirsty, where we knew that we were trying to quench that thirst with all of the wrong things and in all of the wrong ways. Imagine if we realized that our cravings for food or alcohol or relationships were just a mask for the real longings of peace and joy, fulfillment, purpose, acceptance, love. Imagine if we saw that our hunger for renown or popularity or achievement could be replaced with something that would never fade, that we would never lose. You know, recently in a little group that I do, Discipleship Explored, we were looking at Philippians. And in part of Philippians in chapter 3, Paul talks about all his achievements in life, everything that he has done. And he was quite a guy. He had a lot going for him. But he says this, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so I could gain Christ and become one with him. And as in that wee group, we chatted about that passage, we realized that there's nothing more important in life than getting to know Jesus. Yes, some things are important and valuable. Our relationships, our family, our careers, all of that is great. But all of those things can be lost in a moment. The only thing that remains is our relationship with the Lord. And if we place anything above getting to know the Lord and being at one with him, we're going to face disillusionment and disappointment throughout our lives as one by one those things get lost. You know, God wants to satisfy us at the deepest level, but we must be willing to come to him and recognize that we're thirsty. We need to be willing to examine our lives and see that there are parts in all of us that are still self-sufficient. There's areas in all of our lives where we think, well, I can just do it on my own. I don't really want God interfering. There are areas in our life where we know that we don't please God with what we're doing. We don't really honor him. But we continue doing them because they're giving us a quick fix. They're making us feel good for the moment. They're giving us peace, or else they're numbing the fear and anxiety for a moment. There are things that we go to in our lives to give us purpose, to make us feel valued and loved. But these things are just like a drip of water compared with the gushing waters that God provides for us. As a people, are we willing to repent? Are we willing to admit our thirst, our need, to come to God once more, to trust him that he will satisfy us with every good thing? This year, are you prepared to be discerning? To do the hard work in relationship and find the life, find the joy, find the nourishment that is offered to us freely. I want to finish just with a story that I read. It was a story that Ravi Zacharias told. It's this: a man is wandering through a desert with bottles of water on his shoulder. He conserves his water carefully until it is all gone, and then he begins to get thirsty. That thirst gets deeper and deeper until he sees a pump and he runs to it. He lifts the handle and pulls it down, but all he hears is the sound of metal on metal. He starts to panic, and then he sees a tin can at the bottom of the pump, and in the tin can is a message. Dear traveler, do not despair. There is enough water here. Just follow the instructions. Lift the handle of the pump and bring it down. And when you hear the sound of metal and on metal discouraging you, here's what you do. Under the pump in front of you is buried under the sand a bottle of water. Don't despair. Pick up the bottle of water and pour it into the cylinder and start priming the pump. The moisture will get the system to work. A rush of water will start gushing out of the pump. You can drink all of the water you want, fill all the bottles, but do not forget to fill the bottle again and leave it for the next passerby. Warning, you're going to be tempted when you see this one bottle of water to drink it. But you'll be so thirsty again, and so will everyone else who goes by. Empty it out as instructed, and you will have all the water you want, and so will everyone else going by. Ravi Zacharias continued, when you come up against Christ, he offers you that drink, that living water to free you to be what he designed you to be, not just to be enslaved by the moment. If you empty your life on yourself, you will soon be thirsty again, and so will everyone else who comes across your path. Empty it out into his hands, and he will fill you and give you the water that you can share with everybody else too, so that life can be full and meaningful. It's like the story of the lady that Jesus met, the Samaritan woman, isn't it? Once she discovered the water, she didn't just keep it to herself. She knew that there was an abundance of water that she wanted to share with everyone else. Come, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you call us to come to the waters that offers refreshment, that offers life, that offers salvation, that offers your life in us in abundance, that offers us hope for eternity. Father, today we repent. We are sorry for all of the things that we turn to for comfort, the things that we turn to for identity, the things that we turn to for love and acceptance and to feel valued. Father, sometimes these things are not wrong in and of themselves, but it is only you who can fill us up completely to be satisfied. Where we find our worth, our value, our identity, our purpose in you. Father, would you examine areas of all our lives? Point out to us the things that we need to bring to you and change. Lord, we long for more this year. We long to be at the waters. We all want to know what it is to have life in abundance. To not just read about it, but experience it with you. Father, we make a choice today. We make a choice to be discerning about what we're putting into our lives. Lord God, we pray for your help. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would flood us and fill us. Make us more aware of your presence. We need you, Lord, and we love you. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to another Shore Street Presbyterian Church podcast. You'd be so welcome at any of our services on a Sunday. We have three services. Our first is at 9:45. Our second's at 11 a.m. And our third is at 6:30 in the evening. You'd be so welcome.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.